Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I would just ask you to do me the following favor. There was one mistake in the handout where source number 12, you didn't get the whole Noda Biyahuda. So I'm just going to pass this around and just ask you to appropriately insert in your packet where there was source number 12. You have half of the source. I just wanted you to have the whole source. Okay. Now the topic that Rabbi Schwartz asked me to have a conversation about today and for us to learn together about was the notion of shuls and mosdot chinuch being involved in taking tainted funds. I think one of the challenges that we have, one needs to go no further than the Sfarim sale. Not that the Sfarim sale is taking tainted funds, but one needs to go no further than the Sfarim sale to recognize some of the challenges. There is, the Sfarim sale has great prices, but there's a particular group of Sfarim or Sefer that's actually at a cheaper price than normal. Does anyone know what that is? Right, the Rav Mazer. Right, was it $9.99 or something like that?
$9.
Now, I think the reason for that is that they want to reprint it, perhaps without the person's name who donated the money on the Mazer, because of certain challenges that person at the present time faces. The question or the issue that this is an issue that occurs anytime someone is involved in Jewish communal work, and focusing not on producing books, but focusing on producing, building communities, it is an issue. What happens when somebody offers you a sum of money that allows you to actualize the dream of a community? Somebody offers you a sum of money to help build a school or something else of that nature. How are you supposed to deal with that issue? What are the challenges that go in when one is dealing with the financial responsibilities of being part of a community? One of the challenging things is, and I don't think we're trained for it, but it's one of the realities, is that Rabbanim and Mechanchim, especially those who will be leaders within their communities, have certain responsibilities regarding the issue of fundraising. I think there's a Yiddish saying, you'll excuse me because this is the extent of my Yiddish, hap de meya, hap de deya, right? The guy who has the money has the knowledge. Rabbis, for the most part, can't write big checks, but if they have the wherewithal sometimes to help fundraise, they can help choreograph the vision of their communities. It is a challenge, and it is an issue that one needs to recognize, whether one is going to be a principal, whether one's going to be involved in running a shul, or whether one's going to play other leadership roles within the community. And so the question really is, how do we deal with the issue of tainted donations, tainted funds? What are there any halachic issues for it? How do we deal with it? And I'd like to share with you some ideas here. For me, this conversation in some ways is something I've thought about, maybe not in the same concrete terms as I'm going to share it with you. And it's also, I'm still in the middle of the journey here. You'll see the thought processes through the Makoros, but I think hopefully we'll also have time for some conversation. Rabbi Schwartz, we go to 2:30, right?
2:40.
Okay. So let's look, let's introduce, let's go through the Makoros. Okay? We start with source number one. The source number one is the notion of Esnan Zona, where we're told in the Mishnah that if someone, the Zehu Esnan, you know, what is the wage for paying a prostitute, Ha'omer Lazona, Holech or Halech, Tala Zeb Eschareich, listen, this lamb I want to give to you for your services, Afilu Hen Kuf, even if he offers in this proposition 100, Kulam Asurim, they're all forbidden to be brought on the Mizbeach. And similarly, if he says to his friend, do me a favor, I'm going to give you this lamb in order that your maidservant should have relations with my Eved, if it is a halachic challenge, if it is a halachic isser for them to have relations, that's also called Esnan Zona. The Gemara elaborates upon this. What does it mean 100? What does it mean 1? But basically, for our conversation, The highlight is that anything that is being, even if the woman's only worth one lamb and the guy overpays by an extra 99, if that is part of the payment for the prostitute, for the wage pain, that itself becomes they all become a chetzah shel iser from being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. This is highlighted in the Rambam Hilchos Isuri Mizbeach, where the Rambam compares Avodah Zarah to these objects, recognizing the fact that anything that's involved in some type of abhorrent behavior, like Avodah Zarah, cannot become a chetzah that can be used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what you have in source number 2, A. Koshi Yeshbo Hashem Avodah Zarah, Lo Yaseh Melechas HaKodesh, Afo Pishuhu Mutar Bahana. Even a form of Avodah Zarah that is Mutar Bahana, and what is that? Ezehu Esnan. That's an example of an Esnan Zona. And then the Rambam qualifies that it has to be that the Zona, there's a special Isser. It's not when a husband comes on to his wife who's a Nida and pays for it, or a Kohen comes on to a Panuya. It has to be an Isser of a certain magnitude from a halakhic perspective. Source number B, 2B, highlights what the Gemara said, that even if she's paid 1,000 lambs, they're also forbidden to be used on the Mizbeach. Explains the idea of even if it's given to her as a deposit and the relations didn't happen yet, there's a chalosh shem that's eventually created on this. And source 2C and 2D become a little bit more important for us, and that is the Isser is only on the specific object. As the Rambam says in Halakha Yadawit, Ein Asur Mishum Esnan Umechir Ela Gufam. So in other words, the lamb is Asur, but Lefikach Einu Chal Ela Adav HaRa'uli Karav Al Mizbeach. Kagon Behema, Tahora, Vatorim, Bnei Yonah, Vayayin, Vashemin, Vasoles. However, Noten Lamos, if the guy solicits this person for this abhorrent behavior and gives the woman Maos, and then the money is used by her to buy a carbon, that Hareza Kasher, once there's a change in the object, once the object that was used for payment is not the exact object that's being used in the Beis HaMikdash or in for Mizbeach, to be brought on the Mizbeach, then it becomes mutter. This is further concretized in the Rambam source D, 2D, where the Rambam says even if she was given chitin, it was made soles, so zeisim, made shemen, enough, and made yayin, harei hen ksherim shikafar nishtenu. This idea that the Beis HaMikdash in some ways is compared to a Beis Knesset, which we all know that the halacha of a Beis Knesset receives its kedusha from the Beis HaMikdash, and there's a plethora of halachot regarding the Beis Knesset that are connected to the Mikdash, regarding the issues of Kapandria, regarding other issues. We don't have time to go into that. It's highlighted in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, now the next source number 3, where the Rama says, Asur lasos me'esnan zona or mechir kelav davishol mitzvah kagon Beis Knesset. And not only the Beis Knesset itself, but any keli in the Beis Knesset, the Sefer Torah, and the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch is clear to do what the Gemara does, what the Rambam does, and that is, but if the material went through some type of transformation, namely the woman who was solicited got money and she buys, and that money is now being used to write a Sefer Torah, that doesn't seem to be an Isser. The Isser is that if the woman was propositioned with cloth, and then that cloth would be used for a Sefer Torah, that seems to be the Isser. You have the Mishnah Brura, where the Mishnah Brura makes the bridge between the Beis Knesset and the Mikdash, reminds us of this bridge, recognizes that bridge makes us only a rabbinic prohibition, not a biblical prohibition, reminds us that it's not just the building of the structure itself, but also any vessel in the Beis HaMikdash, and also reminds us again that the material being transformed changes the chalosh shem of it, and therefore does not seem to be a prohibition. Let me just finish the point. This seems to be at least one of the sources which we can leap off from in discussing receiving tainted money, because what we see here is a situation where someone's involved in abhorrent behavior, where we're not interested in that funds being used in some fashion in building the institutions that guarantee the immortality of the Jewish people, like the Beis HaMikdash, or the relationship of the Beis HaMikdash through Karbanos, or as is done by the Ramah and concretized by the Mishnah Berurah, in the relationship that we have with a Beis HaKnesset. And that it seems that any type of abhorrent behavior, and I would assume that Gezeila, somebody who is involved in a business in which they've stolen money from others, they've ripped off others in certain ways, would perhaps be considered in the same category of Esnan Zona, where one needs to have some concern and reflection about accepting that type of fund. That's point one. Point two is the idea that the second issue is you have a halacha of mitzvah apah me'aveira. Source number five, the famous paradigm of this, of lulav hagazel, cannot be used. The Rambam, the Perish Mishnayis, highlights the idea because it's a mitzvah apah me'aveira. The Rav Bar Tanura in source number seven reminds us that even after, it has to be lechem, even after Yiyush Bailim, in which the status of the chepsa changes, there's still a problem because of it, that it's a mitzvah that came from an aveira. So it seems that there's a second issue. Can you build your institution, can you guarantee the future of the Jewish people in your local community by accepting money from a person in which you're doing this holy mitzvah, you're guaranteeing your teacher salaries, you're guaranteeing scholarships for the students in your community, you're expanding your synagogue or building a synagogue or a mikvah so that there can be conduits of communication for the people within your community, and you're doing it through a means in which the funds have been received in a way that is at best, dirty. This is issue number two. So you have the Esnan Zona issue, you have this issue of Mitzvah Vavera. Turn to the next page, source number eight. You have the Isser of to have any Hana from a Dover that's Guzzel. That's the Rambam in source number eight. And in source number nine, you actually have another thing, and that is, and this is a very important idea, it will be a benchmark for a little bit later of our conversation, and that is that the Sefer Achinuch, in elaborating on the mitzvah of, on the Avera of Avodah Zarah, highlights the following idea, source number nine, Shalo nadbik shum davar me'avodah zarah. It is forbidden for us to be connected to anything with Avodah Zarah, imamoneinu, brushutenu, lanosbo, with our money, in our domain, to have any pleasure from it. As it says, lo tavi toiva el beisecha. If you look at where I have underlined in source number 9, the Sefer HaChinuch is elaborating, said, min ha-nechlav ha-mitzvazu, shul yadzik ha-adam es mamono, shechanano ha-kel v'tzedek, so one should not attach to the money that God has given them through righteous means, working hard, earning the money, getting it from your parents, or something else like that, with mamon acher, shuhu shel gezel o shel chamas, o miribis, o mikol davar mechol ar. Shekol ze b'chal b'shamshe avodah zarah hu, and skip a few words, v'ayetahara nikra b'shem avodah zarah. Here we see a certain blending of ideas. We see that we were introduced that there is an isser of Avodah Zarah. We were introduced to that idea of having any, that Avodah Zarah should never play a role in the Beit HaMikdash. We saw the Shulchan Aruch connecting that to the notion of a Beit Knesset. We saw that perhaps the Zona issue, because it is a repugnant behavior, is also prohibited, and we see that that also connects to the Beit Knesset. But here there's another emphasis, and that is the emphasis being that money that has been, that you have acquired through inappropriate means, through illegal means, is a form of Avodah Zarah, and therefore cannot be used in the service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it seems the Minchas Chinuch is saying, when the Minchas Chinuch catches, creates a web that's a little bit larger in his description.
Is that Mi'ilah?
What?
Is that Mi'ilah?
No, Mi'ilah would be once the thing is Hekdesh. Oh. It's the idea that Avodah Zarah is also to be included in that umbrella of Avodah Zarah, any form of money that you have received in a way that is not consistent with the norms and mores of halacha. Okay? So far, when one now needs to process this idea of receiving this $2, $3, $4, $5 million grant, There's never, you never get small money from people with tainted funds. That would make this too easy. You know, now you need to go through this process of evaluating, can you do it? I've thrown in front of you a few different spring points where I think you need to understand the context of the conversation. That's issue number one. Okay, we'll get back to this. I'm just throwing out issues, but we'll put it back. Is everyone with me so far? Anyone have any questions on what we've done so far? Yes. The Sefer HaChinuch does not. There might be others who do. We'll discuss that a little bit later, where Rav Avadia might be doing that, but the Sefer HaChinuch does not. We're not going to read every source here, but you guys are you know, serious students in Smicha. I don't believe that I should give you the cliff notes and just give you one line of it. I should give you the thing, and you can always look back at the source. But what you see is what is stated there. Yes.
This is all assuming that we know that the how does it work if you don't know at the time and then after, like, how would you deal with it?
Right, so perhaps we'll discuss that also, but we're making the assumption that we're talking about somebody who knows that the funds have been received in a compromised way. Right. You know the family has a mafia connection, the family has other things, they've been mentioned in the New York Times, they've been this, they've been that. You know, you did a Google search on them and the SEC is... I'm just giving you examples that I've had to deal with. The SEC has had to suspend the person's license. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to recognize the challenges. Yes?
Just to quote Rob, in terms of what we were saying before, that if the money has changed sort of status, some sort of Shira Hashem,
mm-hmm.
with the flower,
right.
Or money returned to diamonds, which was the originally money, if the Sefer HaChinuch necessarily agrees that we don't want to concern
about that. I'm not sure he does, but I'm just bringing you separate dimensions here. We'll try to bring them all together in a few minutes. A little bit of a diversion, but a nice, interesting diversion you find in Halakha, a tangent of some side, and that is there's another form of tainted funds. And that are funds that a synagogue or an institution would receive that perhaps one is not permitted to receive without the full das. And here you have, we're starting off with the Shulchan Aruch, Gabei Tzedaka, source number 10, Ein Mekabel Mehanashim, a woman who wants to give you a major gift, you can only accept a little bit. Why? The Piskei Tshuva explains. Piskei Tshuva brings this down, and that is, unless the woman says that she's coming with the shlichus of her husband. If the woman comes with the shlichus of her husband, then it's not a problem. What's the concern here? If you turn to the next page, and that's the page I asked you to insert, that Know the Behuda page, 12, which is also... and that is the following issue. And that is that what happens if the woman knows that her husband is a kamsan, he doesn't like to get stuck up. He'll give the woman anything she wants. She wants a new car every year, no problem. Wants a new car every other year, also no problem. But he won't get stuck up. The woman feels, I know that we can afford to give a major gift to the local shul, and I want to give the money, but the problem is my husband doesn't really want to give it, so when my husband's out of town, I will write a check to the synagogue, or when my husband's on a business trip, I'll ask the rabbi to come over, and I'll give him a check, but the bottom line is I'm going to do it in a way that my husband's not aware of. So Noz Behuda was asked to Shaila, and he says the following. You see, he mentions Isha Shiodat Shabala Mekamez Benesina Tzedaka, that the woman does not want knows that her husband doesn't like to give tzedaka. Ve'eino Noten L'Fiyarko, doesn't give the way he should. Ve'hi, and she is Nosaf Notenet Toch HaBayit, she's like the person involved with the house. She runs the day-to-day operations of the house. Ve'hi Machleket Tzedakot L'Fiy HaOsher, based on based on the dividends that the family is receiving, she knows how to give out the money. Ve'odat Shabala Machkid. Can I accept money from this woman? The money wasn't stolen. It was earned honestly in business. But the bottom line is the husband would never agree to give $100,000. He would give $18, right? And all of a sudden, this woman's offering me a $100,000 check towards the building fund or towards the scholarship fund or to send people to students to Yeshiva University or something else of that nature. All things that are good and very appropriate to do. So another Yehuda says you can't take that money, even though technically he can be forced by Beis Din to give what he's worth. You cannot take that money from this woman. That is a form of gzeila. Parenthetically, and practically, I find that on solicitations, it is always better to do the solicitations with the couple and not with one or the other, because when you have them both in the room, you also can help help organize what the conversations will be when you leave the room. Most of the time, that's when the when you know whether you succeeded or not. Most of the time, it's better to have both of them in the room, even though it might be a little harder, because you can help organize the conversations. And sometimes I have found that when you only speak to the man and not to the woman feels a little left out and doesn't become your advocate in the solicitation. But going back to this, the halachic conversation that we're having now, the question now becomes, with the Noda Yehuda, the Noda Yehuda clearly says he has a concern. Rav Sternbach, if we go back to our handout, source number 13, the same story, again, we're not going to read the whole thing. A mishulach huzman me'isha shabala ashir ma'od lavo, kishayim bala babayit, come when my husband's not home, v'kabel l'tina chashuva, you'll get a much better donation. Can this mishulach do this? And he writes that unless the money truly comes from her own war chest that she has, she cannot do that. You cannot accept that type of money. That is considered tainted funds. The Aruch HaShulchan on the next page disagrees with that. The Aruch HaShulchan, source number 14, says that in a case of this nature, it is permitted to take these. These are not considered tainted funds. If you look at source 14, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis is a repetition of everything we've just articulated. No need for me to read it and to waste our precious time together. But look at Yud Gimel. Sif Yud Gimel. V'yirel aniyas da'iti, the kibin the kaimel and the kofim of tzedakah. Since we know that you can force somebody to give tzedakah, v'achshav v'zman hazeh yidua she'ein lanu koach l'chof, we don't have the wherewithal to force. V'chein im yesh ish ashir. If you have a person who is an ashir, who's chili v'kamsan, chili is a miser, the kamsan is the same thing. V'isha notenet tzedakah v'lo yidiyato, she can't really do it herself. But Amnon, im harav shebeir lo omar la, shelofi orko im haya yadenu tkifa hayinu tkofim. If the rabbi says to her, listen, you know, your husband's worth $100 million, and you know what? If we could force, we would say that minimally he should give the community $1 million of that money. We can't force anymore. That permission that the rabbi gives based on his evaluation, hopefully he's done, hopefully it's not for his institution, so he's done it with a little bit of stepping backwards or out of the picture, that person is permitted to, that woman were permitted to take her money. There's no halakhic issue in that case. Why should we lose if we had the wherewithal to pressure force them? We get $1 million. Why shouldn't we get $1 million gift itself? So here's another form of tainted funds: accepting money from a member of the family without the complete das. And the machlokas within the poskim of whether that, in this case, the husband and wife issue, if that's permitted. Here's the next issue that I'd like to bring up, and that is the challenge that the Rav or the Machana has based on the issue of chanifus. The idea that you have to be careful that when you are taking money of this nature, you create a whole challenge within your community, because the community sees that you really don't care about ethics, or you don't care about yashrus. All you're interested in is just promoting your agenda. By the way, it's easy for the people around the Shabbos table to make that decision. No one's knocking at their door when their kids can't afford to get into yeshivot. No one's knocking on their door when people don't have money to eat. But it is the Shabbos table conversation. I'm sure that many of us have been to Shabbos tables with those types of conversations. Parenthetically, I think our responsibility is perhaps not to give them a halacha kabur at that point, but to change the Shabbos conversation. It's no big deal to paint a bullseye on the rabbi or the principal who's struggling for educational excellence or struggling for certain ideas and has a challenging situation where it's easy for people to attack and not recognize that the burden or the yoke of responsibility sometimes puts one in a challenging situation where no good deed goes unpunished. So in this case, but we as leaders, all of us in this room, who are leaders, who are Jewish leaders, who are committed to playing that leadership role, have to understand that there is an issue of chanifus here. And the Orcha Tzadikim, one of my favorite Mitzvah Sfarim, and I would suggest to those who have not yet gone through it, it's at least for me personally, it's a very important sefer that I try to read through on a somewhat regular basis, has a nice piece to it. Source number 15, I want to just highlight what are the issues. The Orcha Tzadikim has 9 components of chanifus. We're only going to do 3 that relate to us. First is Harishon Nishnu Makir B'Chaveru Shu Rasha V'Ramai. You realize your friend is a bad guy, but you really want him to give a gift. So what do? You tell him, you know, what you did isn't so bad. It's not such a bad thing. It's no big deal. Whatever. And all of a sudden, what happens is B'Shuhu Motzi Shem Ra Shirim. She goes to Mamam Chaveru. He steals people's money. Vazel Machniklo. Lo Shu Machniklo Mishavcho. He praises him. He didn't do something so bad. So all of a sudden, what happens is you compromise all those people who are acting in an appropriate way. And that is, the second issue is when you praise a Rasha in front of other people. You get money from him, there's going to be a dedication, and you have all these wonderful things to say about a person who gypped a whole bunch of people and who stole money in a whole bunch of different ways.
How about praising Goyim, just generally?
I don't think that's an issue. You're allowed to take money from Goyim to build a shul and to do other things. You're allowed to. So to the next phase.
Praise them? Can you?
Why not? If they deserve praise,
yeah.
Why not? What? Yeah. How does that
for
point
you?
Not
for that. If you can't find a building that's in a bazaar, you should have seen like this is such a beautiful building.
I know, but then we're not talking about a bazaar. We're talking about regular non-Jews. Right, we don't have that regular. I think that's only an issur when it's mamish shadin and abad zara. Not that, you know, you're right. If you walk by a church, and the question is a church a form of abad zara or not for a guy? But I'm talking about the standard non-Jew who saves Jews' life or helps contribute or the United States government or people in the government, stuff like that. I don't think there's a problem. In fact, Rav Moshe praises them. One of the tubas I'm about to share with you.
Okay.
I don't think that that's the problem. I think that my issue here is not about religious personalities, it's just Jews in general, and non-Jews in general. Let's go to the next page. And that is, I want to highlight the piece that's boxed. L'chein, mishehu parnat, o dayan, o gabay tzedakah, tzarech shelo yehichanaf, ki yichanif ha-mepranei hashum adam, Lo yachichu lasot hatov lasum minara, as you kol akahol mekukalim ki kol achad yomar haparnes machnifu poni lo yikabel tochachaso. In other words, once you sell your soul for a gift, in a way in which people will think that you don't take the ethics of Torah seriously, you lose your capacity to be able to be effective, you know, in your career, and you have to be very careful about that. A rabbi, a principal, an educator only has one thing, and that is his or her good name. There's nothing else. An educator only has one thing, his or her good name. A rabbi only has one thing, his good name. That's all we have. The minute you compromise that, your ability to be effective is totally challenged. So far we've seen the following. We've seen that there is this issue of avodah zarah. There are concerns about taking tainted funds, for a host of different reasons. The Esnan Zona paradigm, the issue of Mitzvah Av Avera, forms of having Hanach and Gezel, the idea that it's a form of Avodah Zarah, namely the you know, money that's been stolen, and the concerns to use that. And we have talked about another form of tainted funds, and that is when you receive money from a woman without the knowledge of her spouse, knowing perhaps that her spouse would not be happy with this gift, yet accepting the funds anyway, the machlokes that there is between the poskim on that issue. And finally, and then I'll take a question, and finally, the concern, which I think is a meta halachic concern, and that is the how what it does to the stability of the community, to the ethical infrastructure of the community, when there's a when everybody knows that this guy is involved with challenging enterprises. You take his money, you put it on the front of a synagogue, or you put it, you know, in front of another institution, and all of a sudden, the rabbinic or religious personality or personalities compromise their integrity. Yes?
I'm sort of confused by this whole, I mean, I understand why it's questionable to take money from the woman getting it from her husband, mm-hmm. without his desire, but she says, you know, honey, I want a mink coat, can I have $1,000? And he says yes, or whatever mink coat costs,
whatever.
And she decides that now that she has the money, she'd rather have a library in the shul that
right.
Her name on it than a mink coat. So
right, so Rav Sternbach deals with that, where she says, I'd rather have less gifts and give more money to the shul. And it seems to be that unless the husband is willing to agree that this is something that he's comfortable with, then there's still a halachic challenge with it. The issue is that you need the das of the Baal in this case. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees with that idea, but that's why I'm bringing it up.
She's the breadwinner.
No, I don't think so. If she has her own money, she would have, no, I don't think that applies then. Yes?
According to the people who would be opposed to taking the money from the wife without the husband fully being in favor of it, in a society where women make a lot of money, and would it apply vice versa, where you're taking money from the husband and the wife would be opposed to it?
Uh-huh. I don't think so.
Just strictly being from the halakhically who owns the money?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's the issue. Yeah.
It's not direct, it really is, so if I did something later. But I guess like a common issue today where a lot of times like Christian groups give to Jewish groups, but like they're giving because they think that if all the Jews come to Israel, like
that was benefish, the first gift,
yeah,
and that was benefish God.
Yeah.
So that's you're right, that's a challenging issue. And that's why